This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. The week is almost over. We're doing some history. I probably will get done with this little tale, I would hope, in the next segment or two. In case you're just now joining us, we're talking about history, Alexander the Great, the Siege of Tyre, but I'm making no promises on when I'm going to wrap the whole thing up. I am going to wrap it up tonight, though. Go back, do some, maybe some emails, some little bit of politics, and we're going to check out of here until tomorrow on Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, email your questions for tomorrow in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And maybe for whatever work reasons or radio reasons, maybe you missed the first hour of this little history tale. It's all free. Just go download a podcast of it right on your phone on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jewish producer Chris puts all the hours up. It's all available for free. Go listen at your leisure. Back to our story. Alexander's standing on the coast. He's standing in what was old Tyre, but he tore all that down, staring at the island fortress of New Tyre. He has to figure out how to get there. He decides to build a causeway. Now, this is going to be important. Right off the coast, it's fairly shallow at first. We're talking 6 feet deep. It's not very deep. Most people, not Italians, can walk into it and stick their head above water. What, Chris? He starts building a causeway by throwing the stones in there. And then, look, he's doing other things. Cutting down trees and making that part of it. Now, that part's a little bit important because where's he getting these trees? There are trees in the countryside outside of Old Tyre. He starts to send people out there to chop down these trees, bring them back, and help him build the causeway. Okay? We'll come back to that in a moment. Because for the time being, the people in Tyre are feeling pretty confident. Alexander the Great is not the first army, the first conqueror who showed up outside of their gates. They're on an island fortress. They have done just fine every other time, and they think this time is going to be the exact same. So they send their navy out just to mock him. Never a good idea. They're floating by. They're mocking him. But Alexander the Great doesn't stop. And his causeway every single day is getting closer and closer. Now, he has his troops building it. He has also enslaved all the people in the surrounding areas. Remember, this is an empire he's conquering. He has enslaved these people, and he's forcing them to build his causeway. It's getting closer and closer and closer. Now, imagine. I always think about this. I always think about it when I study any ancient siege. Think what it's like when you're inside the city and there's an army outside of your gates. Think for a moment what the stakes are. In every ancient siege you read about, because this is how it worked, you might win. Your walls are high. The defender can win a siege. If you outlast them, they may starve, they may get diseased, too many men may die. A million things could happen. You might win. And if you win, you may wake up one day and that army is gone and you are free. So great. But what if you lose? This is the ancient world. There's no Instagram. There's no United Nations. There's no Geneva Convention. In the ancient world, if you lose a siege, what it means for virtually everyone is a living hell. To be honest, the lucky ones probably die. What will it mean for the women? All of them, young and old. you can use your imagination. The children too, young and old. The political leaders of the city, the ones that defied it, they normally die not quickly. Everybody gets sold into slavery. And look, you have an idea, I have an idea of what slavery is because we can read books and things like that. But remember, slavery can mean some unbelievable things in the ancient world. It's not that our version of slavery was this peachy, wonderful time, right? It was horrible too. Abuse, and starvation, and murder, you name it. But look, I remember I told you I was just in New Orleans. There were laws in Louisiana at the time. You can't just murder your slave. You're not allowed to do that. In the ancient world, you can do whatever you want to your slaves. And those are the stakes. As you wake up every day and tired and you're watching the causeway coming towards you, those are the stakes. You know those are the stakes. The causeway's being built. Tyre starts to get a little bit nervous because this causeway they thought was going to fail is not failing. They are building it. It is closer every single day. So they send their navy out. Their navy's essentially floating by with spears and arrows, pummeling the troops, pummeling the builders. Alexander has to do something about this. So he builds, gosh, I would have killed to have seen this siege. He builds these two gigantic siege towers and covers them in essentially raw animal skin, not dried out animal skin. He puts them on the end of the causeway and they sit there essentially like shields. The animal skin is so they can't be caught, they can't catch fire because they're shooting flaming arrows at them. But he also has ballistas. He has artillery, ancient artillery on top of the siege towers shooting at Tyre's walls as Tyre's walls are shooting at him. This is how insane this whole daggone thing is. Well, now Tyre's starting to get more and more nervous. How nervous? Well, this is the day. This day might be number one for me. As far as the question you've asked me 1,000 times, go in a time machine and watch any one historical battle or event, this exact moment may be it. Tyre, they want to do something about the causeway. They load up a ship or ships. I read 10 different versions. I can't figure out if there were 5 ships or 1 ship. I don't know. They load up a ship full of explosive, flammable materials. They tie a rope. They tow it behind their navy, and they tow it towards the causeway. As they're almost to the causeway, they light it on fire and cut the rope and turn away. This flaming, apparently it was gigantic, this flaming ship slams into the causeway and it immediately erupts everything in fire. There is fire raining down from the sails. The siege towers are going up in flames. More smoke. Then Tyre sends troops to the bridge to destroy the construction equipment. They're killing everybody. Picture what this scene is like in the middle of the water on a causeway, a flaming ship coming to ram into the causeway. It's just freaking beyond belief. And so now Alexander has another problem on his hands. He can't get closer without a navy. And he's having issues getting lumber. We'll tackle both those things next. And he also has construction workers to replace. And he doesn't have ZipRecruiter like you do. I am sure in this moment, Alexander the Great, as smart as he was, he would have loved to go to the number one site for finding great employees. And look, he's in a hurry, and that's good, because with ZipRecruiter, 4 out of 5 employers find an amazing candidate the first day. Alexander the Great wouldn't have had to go searching. He could have had one day one with ZipRecruiter, but he didn't have the power you have. Do you want to feel more powerful than Alexander the Great? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse and sign up. Your next great employee. to work for you, build that siege tower, or just a secretary, is at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Stop taking ads out in the paper, putting things online. Stop taping a sign to the door. We're hiring. The one you need is at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Don't get stuck with a low-quality worker who won't build your siege towers well. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, completely derailing the show on a Thursday to break off and do some history about Alexander the Great and the Siege of Tyre. If it's now showing up, that's what you walked into. Too bad, so sad. Don't pout about it. We'll get back to politics at some point in time. Now, Tyre has just sent a flaming ship into the causeway. Alexander the Great knows he's not going to be able to take this impregnable city without a navy. That's one. Two, he needs more wood, more stone. This causeway is getting long. Remember, we're talking about two-thirds of a mile here. He needs more wood. His troops, his people who are going into the hills outside of Old Tyre to get the wood, they keep getting attacked by these tribes. All kinds of tribal peoples around there who don't want to be conquered by Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great raises a little force, a strike force, if you will. And because he's Alexander the freaking Great, he leads it himself. He doesn't send other people up there. He decides, well, we got to make an example of some people. What kind of a general is Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great at one point sneaks up on a bunch of soldiers who are apparently around a fire. They're camping out, tribal soldiers, and personally daggers two of them, kills two of them. This dude is, he hands-on, if you will. He's a hands-on leader. He pacifies the tribes, putting it mildly. The wood continues to come, and then Alexander takes off. He leaves. Where's he going? You got a siege going on. Well, he needs a navy. Remember those cities he was conquering on the way down to Tyre? He goes back to those cities and says, hey, the boss is here. I need every ship you have available. And this is when, man, you got to give the guy some credit. The king of Cyprus steps in. Cyprus, you know where Cyprus is. If you don't, it's fine, but it's over there. The king of Cyprus, wealthy man, he's a king after all. The king of Cyprus apparently has an eye for talent. And if you're a betting person at this point and you don't know how this all turns out, I don't know that you're betting on Alexander the Great. He's currently invading the most powerful empire on the planet. I don't know if you're betting on him, but the king of Cyprus is. And again, we're talking about the stakes. Let's talk about the stakes for the king of Cyprus. What happens if he steps in to aid Alexander the Great and loses? You do know what the Persians did to people who betrayed them, right? They weren't that nice. You have heard of Scaphism? The boats? You know what that is? Maybe the worst way to die I've ever heard of in my life. They put you down. You're naked. They lay you down in a rowboat on a swamp. Not a lovely ocean. Not a lake. You were in a swamp. Picture the bug situation. They lay you down naked in a boat, face up. They then force your mouth open, and they force a mixture of milk and honey into your body. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, wow, that doesn't sound bad. Milk and honey probably tastes pretty good, and I would agree with you. Except you don't get bathroom breaks. Your arms and legs are sticking out of the boat. They then take another boat and they turn it upside down and put it on top of the one you're in. You are tied to the shore with a rope so they can bring you back when you want. And they push you out into the swamp with your belly full of milk and honey. your intestines are going to do what they do in the boat. People would stay alive for days unloading into the boat. You would die from scaphism, essentially being eaten alive by worms and insects that crawled inside of your body over a period of days. Remember I said they tied the boat to a rope? I forgot to mention they kept bringing you back to the shore to force feed you more to keep you alive. That's what the king of Cyprus is facing if he bets wrong. Alexander the Great is out telling people, I want your boats. The king of Cyprus goes up to him and says, hey, young man, I like what I see so far. Why don't you have my boats? Gives him 120 boats on top of the, I think he had already gotten 100 himself. Now Alexander's navy is larger than the navy of Tyre, who he's up against. He sails it back down to Tyre and allegedly parades it in front of the city to let them know, remember that one advantage you had, your navy? It's gone now. I've got one too, and mine's bigger than yours. Yeah. The bridge starts again. The towers are firing arrows. There is death all over the place. But if you're in Tyre right now, you know you are in very, very deep trouble. And you can just imagine what they must be thinking when you're watching all these people coming your way to kill you. You know what they're going to do in your city. What are they going to do? They're going to burn it down. And think about all those pictures you'll never get back if you haven't digitized them with Legacy Box. And nobody, what, Chris? None of those people had gotten a hold of Legacy Box yet. If you're in Tyre, that picture of Grandpa is about to go away forever. But no matter what happens to your city, you will always have those old pictures, wedding albums, and baby photos because Legacy Box will digitize them for you. Siege or no siege, make your pictures last forever, forever. In all seriousness, it is a powerful thing. Memories are so much more important than stuff. That picture you walk by on the wall is more important than anything you'll get for Christmas this year. Father's Day's coming. You think Dad might like the ability to see all those old pictures and camcorder tapes on his phone, on his computer? Get a hold of Legacy Box. It's 50% off right now. LegacyBox.com/Jesse gets you 50% off. Go and get your stuff digitized. I will finish the story of the Siege of Tyre next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. If you miss any part of the show, any part of this history thing, or back when we used to talk politics in the first hour, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Back to the Siege of Tyre. Alexander has his boats. He has pacified the tribes that were causing problems with wood. The causeway is getting closer and closer to the city, and the city is now fighting as if Alexander the Great's getting closer and closer to the city. It is arrows. It is boulders. They are trying everything they can to stop this causeway from making the connection, and they are fighting so hard and killing so many of Alexander's men from these walls that at one point, Alexander the Great thinks about cutting the whole thing off, calling the whole thing off, and just letting it go. That's how costly and brutal this battle is, and that's how much Tyre is fighting. So Alexander, with his brand new navy, starts probing the walls. Remember I talked about what Democrats are doing with the riots? It's just seeing how Donald Trump will react. Probing defenses. Alexander starts bouncing around the island to different parts of the island to see places that are weaker than others. And he thinks he finds one. And in fact, he does find one. And so once the causeway gets all the way there, Alexander has ships by it now. The people of Tyre are chucking down stones. People are dying. People are drowning. Remember, when you have any equipment, and a lot of people back then, they couldn't swim. You know, you don't take swim lessons back then. A lot of people couldn't even swim. Plus, even if you can swim, when you've got 60 pounds of armor on, you don't swim that well no matter what. People are dying everywhere. Alexander, if you think about the island like a circle, think about it like a clock. And let's say the causeway is heading towards 3 o'clock. This is very rough, by the way. Heading towards 3 o'clock. Alexander finds a spot he likes right around 5 o'clock. And Alexander takes a force there. And they breach the walls. Now, Tyre is in serious trouble. Because they scramble their troops, as many as they can, to go down and fight Alexander. By the way, he's there personally. Again, of course he is. Alexander's down there personally at 5 o'clock leading troops through the walls. But now they're also breaching at 3 o'clock getting through the walls. They have officially lost control of the walls. Now we reach the point in sieges that honestly I don't even enjoy. And this is, gosh, how many years ago? Long time. The people are retreating back to the center of the city. There is heavy fighting in the city as they're trying to hold off Alexander's troops, but Alexander's troops are the best in the world. Once they're inside your walls, you're not going to stop them. They're cutting their way through the civilians, through the soldiers. The city, eventually, everybody, they try to hold at the center of the city. It collapses. Alexander takes the city. Alexander takes the city, and remember what we talked about the stakes? You know what crucifixion is. Obviously, everyone's heard of the Bible and the cross and how Jesus died. You know that you die over a period of days from suffocation, right? It's not the nails. It's not that. You die because when you hang on the cross in that way, it essentially compresses your diaphragm and you can't breathe. And so the true horror of it, I mean, God only knows who came up with this. There are all kinds of theories. You have to use your legs. Remember, there's a nail either in your foot or ankles. There were different ways it was done, but there's a nail in there and it hurts. You have to push up with your legs to provide enough relief so you can breathe. Over a period of days, sun exposure, thirst, your legs getting exhausted, the pain, the shock, you die. One of the worst ways, if not the worst way to die ever. Alexander crucifies 2,000 people in the city of Tyre, and the rest of them, slavery. The ones who got crucified may have been the lucky ones in the end. And the impregnable city of Tyre fell to Alexander the Great. That is the story of the siege of Tyre. How about that? Now, back to politics, shall we? A United States senator got handcuffed today. Kristi Noem, DHS, was giving a little press conference, and this idiot, Alex Padilla, gets himself arrested.
Hands behind your back. Hands behind your back.
If you let my hands go, I put them behind my back.
All right. Cool. Hand. Lay flat.
Chuck Schumer's mad about it.
Mr. President, I just saw something that sickened my stomach. The manhandling of a United States senator. We need immediate answers to what the hell went on. I yield the floor.
MSNBC's mad about it.
Obviously, we don't have full information about the altercation that led him to be pushed out of the room by personnel, either from the Department of Homeland Security or the FBI. But this is yet another escalation between the Department of Homeland Security and those agents working at their disposal and lawmakers. Obviously, LaMonica McIver, a congresswoman from New Jersey, has now been indicted on 3 federal charges for which she could face up to 18 years in prison in an altercation that started not dissimilarly from this. You know, one of the things I was looking for is whether or not Senator Padilla himself put his hands back on those who were involved in that altercation with him, as LaMonica McIver is alleged to have done. And you can see from the video you're showing right now, somewhat, that Senator Padilla is pushing back or has his hands on the officer.
I'm so excited right now. Oh, look, the meltdown continues.
I don't know yet what has going to come of this and where Senator Padilla has been taken, but this is a big escalation of what has been happening in California. Senator Padilla, as David was mentioning earlier, is a...
Here's what happened. Allow me to go ahead and give it away in the most simple, honest terms humanly possible. What happened was, as we've discussed many times, to be an elected Democrat at any level in this country means you have to speak to the animals in the streets. I'm talking about the savages looting and burning. Those are your people. That's your base. And they want to know that they can trust you. There's no ability like relatability, after all. And so as elected Democrats, whether you are a former street animal yourself or just have to pretend to be one, you know you have to do this performative nonsense to show the street animals that you're still their fearless leader. So they will still keep voting for you and knocking on doors for you and donating to you and hurting the people you want hurt. You know, it's all a very evil subject or a very, very evil scenario. So because that's how you have to do things if you're an elected Democrat in the year 2025, you need protection. Protection from the law, because you have to break the law on occasion to perform for the street animals. The problem for people like Padilla and MacGyver is they're used to operating in a system under Joe Biden where the DOJ will give them protection for acting like savages. But there's a new sheriff in town now, and there's nothing Trump and Pam Bondi could do that would be better for this country than to throw 2 Democrats in prison for a decade for this kind of insanity, because that'll put a stop to it really, really quickly. Let's hope they don't wuss out. I guess we'll find out. By the way, did all that Greek history fascinate you? You know that Hillsdale has free classes on Athens and Sparta, stuff like that. Does that stuff fascinate you? Swords and shields and war and the phalanx and things like that. The Greek-Persian War I mentioned? Yeah, that's part of it. Free. Hillsdale College is giving more than 40 free online courses to everybody, everyone who listens to this show. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. You want more depth, more detail than I just gave you? Did it leave you hungry for more? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go hoover up all the knowledge you can while they're giving it out for free, all right? One segment left. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. You history lovers have adored tonight's show. Everyone else turned it off a long time ago. But we should probably play some sound of the day, shouldn't we? Because I've been out of politics for a little while. I was in my element. I was having a good time. J.B. Pritzker, I've told you I'm worried about him being the Democrat nominee. I could see him being the Democrat nominee, and given his money and that he pretends to, you know, represent the Midwest and the fact that he's fat and relatable, I'm worried about it. My eyes are on it. Brandon Gill, one of our good young reps, had a chance to ask him about men and women's restrooms today. This is the challenge. This is what we talked about last night about how captured the Democrat Party is. That's a no-brainer answer if you're looking at the population of the country. America's population doesn't want dudes in women's locker rooms. Even Democrats don't. Like, half of them don't. Everyone else doesn't. But if you're a Democrat, if you want to be that nominee, if you want to get elected as a Democrat, you can't come out and say that. you understand you have to play footsie with the demons. So you try to threaten evil.
Mr. Governor, do you think the biological men should be able to use women's restrooms?
I'm not sure how this has to do with immigration.
It's just a yes or no question.
Why are you?
It's very easy to answer. Do you think men should be doing fact finding?
I'm sorry.
Do you think men should be allowed in women's restrooms?
I'm not sure why this has come to
you,
this
you
issue.
You tweeted that as a protest against President Trump, everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today. Have you ever used the women's restroom?
Not that I can recall ever, sir.
You wanted everybody else to do it, but you didn't.
Sir, I'm not sure why we're on a topic that has nothing to do with
today's You're advocating for men to use women's restrooms, but you didn't do it?
I do not advocate that, no.
Actually, you did. You said everyone should use the other gender's bathroom today.
I can tell you that you are politicizing this in a way that what we ought to be focusing on is
do you regret encouraging men to use women's restrooms?
And the Congress to deal with immigration reform.
Do you regret encouraging men to use women's restrooms?
You're taking us on topics that have.
Did you ever consider that women don't want you in their bathrooms?
Well, yeah, everyone should use the other gender's bathroom. You go, girl. Everybody should be trans. Hey, you said this. Well, wait a minute. Don't take it out of context. The constant tightrope you have to walk if you're a Democrat, letting the freaks know you're their guy, while also trying to let the normies know you're not a freak. It's amazing to watch it. Also was amazing to watch Elise Stefanik, Congresswoman Republican from New York, go ahead and kick her campaign off by interrogating Kathy Hochul.
Do you know what crime he committed in addition to being here illegally?
No, I do not.
You do not? This was widely reported. He found a 15-year-old girl, threatened her with a metal pole, told her to get into the back seat of his car. He took her clothes off, and he violently raped her in Albany, New York. Do you know who Sebastian Zepeda Khalil is?
I'm sure you'll tell me there's many cases, whether they're...
These are high-profile cases. Yes. New Yorkers know about them, and you don't. So let's talk about Sebastian Zepeda Khalil. Do you know who that is?
I don't have the specific details at my disposal, no.
Well, this is an illegal migrant in New York because of your sanctuary state policies. Do you know what crime he committed?
I'm not familiar at this moment.
I bet you're going to be familiar when I remind you. He found a sleeping woman on the subway, lit her on fire, and burned her alive. This is in Kathy Hochul's New York.
If Elise Stefanik is going to destroy these dirty open borders communists because she's running for governor, I actually have no problem with that whatsoever. Good job, Elise. Good job. Go get him. Sarah Jacobs tried to go after Pete Hegseth today. Here's how that went.
Because if it were, you would be keeping these women in. Instead, you are the one injecting culture wars into the military, and it's at the detriment of our military readiness and national security. Now, General Kane, I'd like to turn to you.
So to be clear, these are men who think they're women.
These are women. I'm happy to educate you on trans issues at another
What we've
time.
Identified is that there's mental health issues
I'd
with
like
that
to,
belief system
I'd like to turn
that
to General
are detrimental
now.
To readiness. Mm-hmm. And that's the determination that we've made and that we stand behind. Gender dysphoria.
How in the world is the Democrat Party going to recover when these are the people who represent it? It's wild. Wild to watch it. Speaking of wild, it must be exhausting to be a Democrat. I mean, look, it's not like Republicans don't have their own problems, but you really have to set aside all shame. You have to set aside any sense of honor. This is Stephen Lynch. He's a member of Congress. And I'll just play it for you.
I'm proud of my Democratic colleagues who are willing to stand up to this thuggery. Trump is a wannabe gangster, and he's showing the world what he's about. And I'm proud. You know, my dad served in the Second World War. He fought the Nazis in Northern Africa. He fought the Nazis on the Italian Peninsula. And I think he's looking down right now, and he's happy that I'm fighting today's Nazis. He's proud of that. We all should be.
You know, you roll your eyes and I roll my eyes. I think Jewish producer Chris's eyes got stuck in the back of his head. He just rolled them so hard. We all roll our eyes. But always remember, the beating heart of the modern Democrat Party is insane single women on antidepressants. And the things that make you scoff and roll your eyes, oh, Nazi, come on. She loves it. She eats it up. It gives her miserable life meaning. It makes her think that she has some sort of a value to society, that she's fighting some sort of great evil. I know it's bonkers, but it is what it is. It's as bonkers as not giving your dog any rough greens. I don't know why you wouldn't do that. Why wouldn't you sprinkle rough greens on your dog's food? Is it the money? Are you worried about spending the money on it? How much did you pay the last time you had to go to the vet? What'd that cost you? Vets are unbelievably expensive. And we go to the vet way more than we should because our dogs don't get nutrition. Oh, he's having gut problems. He's having... He never gets vitamins and minerals and probiotics. He never gets antioxidants. Of course, he has to go to the vet all the time. Wouldn't you go to the doctor more if you only ate fast food? Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement. Sprinkle it on your dog's food. Watch your dog come alive and stay away from the vet. Doesn't cost you money. It saves you money. Free Jumpstart trial bag at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
And now...
Here's a headline.
By the go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Israel reportedly gears up to bomb Iran.
And now...
It's doing the repeat thing. Oh, sweet. Trump calls on Israel not to strike Iran before talks. It's definitely bubbling in the Middle East over there. We'll see if it bubbles all the way over. Exclusive from the Daily Signal. Democrats push false narrative on AIDS program, State Department says. Somebody better tell Mayor Pete. Ron DeSantis says Floridians have a right to hit protesters with cars. I don't care about real estate prices. I'm going to have to move to Florida at some point in time. Trump says... he may raise U.S. auto tariffs in the not-so-distant future. I don't know. I can't keep track of what's happening with all the tariffs. Either way, I know tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we'll have ourselves a real good time. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.